This recording is labeled explicit, but your audience's only parental discretion is advised.
Excuse me, ma'am. What we have here, little yellow sister, is a magnificent specimen of pure Alabama black snake, but ain't too goddamn buku.
Bitch alert! Bitch alert! Bitch alert! Attention, all you bitches! Listen up. Dr. Moe is on the air.
This is the Rude Guy, checking in from Maui, and this is the show with something to offend everybody.
It's the Hip Hop Digest with your man DJ King Killer and your boy Kurt G, and you got E Green on the Dr. Moe Danger Zone show, yeah.
Hello, bitches, this is Dr. Moe, welcome to the Danger Zone.
Dr. Mo, what's up?
What's going on, my friend?
Well, my wife and I flew to, Sarah and I, we flew to Salt Lake City.
And with Quinn. You're loaded.
And then we use this one credit card a lot to give us a whole bunch of miles.
It's not a Discover, is it?
No, it's a MasterCard, Frontier MasterCard. So we buy everything on there. And then we have this little scam where Sarah has all these big expenditures at work, and then she puts them on the card, and then she gets reimbursed, so it's paid for, but we get the points on the card. So,
nice.
Sweet. So,
that is sweet.
It's awesome, man. We've flown everywhere. We may even, if it's absolutely free and there's a benefit to it, we'll visit you.
Yeah, come on down. I'm having a big orgy a couple of weeks from now.
We may get that.
Do me a favor. Don't bring the baby.
You don't want the baby?
Going to be pretty hairy. I don't want to scare him early like that. Good to hear he's doing good. I heard him on your show the other day. All the crap that's going on out there. It's been a while. We haven't talked. Wanted to catch up with you.
Yeah, I mean, it has been a long time. I didn't know what the heck happened to you. I thought maybe you got famous and forgot about me.
Actually, I got abducted by aliens, so it's like really 2 days happened for me. I can't remember what happened. There was sex, though. I think there was alien sex.
And he is good.
Yeah, I'm just a little sticky right now. I don't know. Maybe that has something to do with it. What about, speaking of sticky hands, Governor Spitzer of New York.
Oh, so sad.
That happened on Tuesday.
I want to kick him in the sack.
On Monday.
I really think this guy was named Crusader of the Year by Time Magazine.
He was on the cover or something, wasn't he?
Oh, yeah. They called him the Elliot Ness for a new era, taking down the scoundrels of Wall Street, and as Attorney General of New York,
yeah.
I mean he was one of the biggest up and comers in the Democratic Party. What a moron!
Now the guy was actually working on prostitution cases. He brought down a bunch of prostitution rings. It is not inconceivable that through his work against the sex worker, he actually made a few contacts, got a couple of discount cards. After all, he's a big guy. He can get people off, literally and figuratively. And there he is, married with, what, two kids, and he's banging whores. I mean, is that different? Is that abnormal? Do most of these guys in power have a dirty secret in the closet?
Well, maybe it was his quality control. You know, he's figured you can't stop prostitution. You need to make sure it's good.
Yeah, might as well tax it.
But this is the thing. Why should he have to resign when Representative David Vitter, Mr. Family Values, who was hooked up with the D.C. madam, why is he still in office?
Well, I mean, it's like it's that or your Idaho or Iowa senator, Larry Craig, who was caught playing footsies with a fairy in an airport terminal. I mean, you know, what about him? He's up for re-election 2008. He's still running. He's still in office. What's going on with these politicians? And what's the deal? The Republicans, or what is he? He's a Democrat. He's a Hillary Clinton supporter.
Well, the sad thing is, though, I mean, he was like Rookie of the Year. This is the future. I mean, this is like LeBron James suddenly being amputated. I mean, it's It's huge. He's a big player. He's gonna be the future of the Democrats. They were grooming this guy, you know. I mean, when you're the governor of New York or any state, you're getting groomed. And
yeah,
what the hell?
This guy was on his way. He was a young gun, and he basically got taken down. I think the whore's name was Kristen. There were text message logs found. By the way, anybody at Jaguar listening, Jaguar XF is the best looking car ever. So hook me up with a loaner, will you? That was Governor Spitzer. So what happens now? The lieutenant governor is
David Patterson.
Is black and blind. Isn't that 2 points against you right there?
No, my God, black and blind, all he needs to be is like a Jewish lesbian, and he'd be like the ultimate in affirmative action.
We want Whoopi Goldberg. Yikes.
Yeah, I mean, that's huge. I mean, you talk about the Democrat, that's a Democratic golden boy right there, a blind black guy?
Yeah, seriously.
He should have. All he needs is like breast cancer, and he's just going to be like the poster child for everything the Democrats want to stand for.
That's that and a guitar and a harmonica, playing a little blues on the side. This guy would Jesus. I mean,
blind black guys are supposed to be playing the blues.
Hey, listen, we have to do what we have to do. It's part of the thing. You got to add it in there. So this guy's going to be lieutenant governor now. Any word on who you think he backs, Hillary or Obama? Is he going to go for Obama because they're both black, or is he going to continue his allegiance slash support slash following of Spitzer, the whoremonger, and stick with Hillary?
Yeah, I think he's going to go with Hillary. I mean, you know, he's a New York guy. He's a New York senator, I don't know. That's hard to say. But you know why it's really hard to say? Because everybody's flopping on this. I don't know if you saw those black representatives that jumped the Hillary ship and announced Obama. And, you know, it was because the people, this was in a couple in Georgia, and they, you know, they had backed Hillary when she was going to be the inevitable candidate. And then their constituents all voted Obama. And suddenly they were like, you know, I'm feeling the movement. It's time for change. And
yeah, but what do you do if your entire constituency is voting for one candidate, but yet you're voting for the other? What does that say about you? Are you not in touch?
I mean, if you're a good politician, you just wait until your constituent speaks, and then you figure it out. I don't know. I think so many people thought Hillary was going to be inevitable that they thought, that's not going to matter. But, yeah, what do you do as a good politician? I mean, I don't know. If you come out early for Hillary and then all your people go Obama and... Yeah, I mean, you've got to figure out something. I guess
you got to do something. I don't see how that's bad if you wait until your constituency votes and see how your people do. I have, you know, an issue with the super delegates, so to say, jump ship beforehand.
Well, the super delegate thing, I mean, that's just so fickle. I mean, some retired judge, I mean, at the last moment, just to be a hero, could go ahead and switch allegiance because, you know, he woke up on the wrong side of the bed, or he just listened to some Sade and he's into black people that morning. I mean,
or watch a little interracial porn and
he just saw Fresh Prince. He's like, well, those black people aren't so dangerous.
Exactly,
it's kind of funny. Yeah,
Will Smith,
and then, you know,
got a big dick. Let's do it. But I mean, it is what it is. And Hillary came into this race, I think, like she was really expecting this nomination, like a birthright, no? What's her position?
Yeah, oh, exactly. You know, and that was kind of, it looked to me, that was the strategy. Like, just assume, like, there is no alternative and people will follow along. You know, you see it all the time. Karl Rove is the best at it. I mean, you know, when things were absolutely at their worst in Iraq, and in 2006, that midterm election, he was saying, oh, you know, the Republicans are going to win. They're going to sweep. And you'd listen to him and you'd kind of believe it. You kind of think, wow, if he's saying that, well, then, you know, and he sounds important. And so Hillary Clinton, you know, these Democrats are finally
that's probably what Bush was thinking.
Well, Bush doesn't think. I mean, he just kind of
listen to Karl Rove. He sounds important. What are you
saying?
My
brain just spoke up. What'd you say, Carl? Hillary thinking she's inevitable. And
was she counting on the black vote?
Of course she was. Yeah, I think, well, you know, I think they knew they were going to lose some of the black vote, but I don't think they thought. Everybody talks about the black vote, but you know what really surprised them is younger female. Yeah, the white vote. I mean, no, women have deserted Hillary in huge numbers, especially the younger 25, 35 that female that every advertiser wants because they have expendable money and they're all cute and hot and they want to, you know, they're like Madison Avenue's dream. They all jumped the Hillary ship for Obama. And, he's a good looking guy. He's hopeful. He says the right thing. So they just took the carpet from under their feet. I mean, is it really that much of a surprise that black voters would vote for a black person? I hope the Clinton campaign isn't too shocked.
Yeah.
I mean, but you know, I mean, Bill, I like Bill. I mean, I hear so many people say, I'm going to vote for Hillary because Bill will, you know, be playing a
what
part
mistakes,
of it.
What mistakes did he make, has he made so far?
I mean, it's interesting. South Carolina, you don't hear a damn thing about it until election years. In 2000, it was huge with John McCain and President Bush when the religious right just dismembered McCain. And we can get back to that later if need be. But this year, of course, I mean, there, you know, for a white person who's going up against a black person in the South, and to bring up Martin Luther King and not necessarily criticizing King, but criticizing Obama's use of King, it just, you can't be white and have the word critical come within 6 degrees of you and Martin Luther King.
Not a good move.
It doesn't matter. Yeah, it doesn't matter if you're criticizing, you know, maybe he's got some third nephew who stuffs a bunch of coke up his nose and rapes kittens. It doesn't matter. You can't do it.
And, yeah, but listen, this guy got an office in Harlem. I mean, this guy was the quote-unquote first black president. You know how black people went crazy over Bill Clinton. I loved him, of course. I made a lot of money under Bill Clinton. You know, a lot of the black folks love him because, what, he smoked weed and played saxophone. I mean, this whole thing about growing up in the South, that was huge for us. And he was a pimp. He was a superstar. And he went to Africa twice, over, more than twice. So, I mean, a big thing there. But here's the thing. Here's the thing. I believe he took that for granted. And now that there is a black president, or a black candidate for president at least, it seems as though he is trying to use it to gain the black voter, to retain that base, which was the base. Everybody was for Bill Clinton, all the black people.
Well, there's two things here. I mean, first of all, black people had no other black person. I mean, Alan Keyes and Jesse Jackson weren't exactly, you know, raking in the black vote. It was, I mean, you know, black people were like, yeah, you know, nice work. Thanks for standing up for us. But, you know, and then once they got into the polls, they're like, sweet Jesus, I'll vote for anybody but them.
Right.
But,
right.
You know, once you're in that booth, it's private. You know, you can take anybody off. So the, and then secondly, you know, Clinton was popular with black people because he was just a natural. You know, that's Bill Clinton. He's the natural. Like, he could convince you you're a woman. I mean, after 5 minutes of conversation, he'd walk away and say, I'm feeling pretty. And, yeah. but see, Bill Clinton, this Bill Clinton that came out for his wife, he was trying too hard. I mean, you could tell it was calculated. It was manipulated. And sure, there may have been some ugly political machination behind the 90s Bill Clinton, but you didn't see it. You know, you didn't feel it. You know, with President Bush, you kind of feel manipulated too. You know, you feel them watching the numbers, and they'll say and do anything to have some political capital. You didn't really feel that, I didn't think, with Clinton. And now you do. He came out, and, you know, it was like somebody trying to tell a joke but explaining it too much, and it didn't go over.
It was bad.
Yeah.
So he's out there. Is he helping or hurting Hillary? Because the people that she's going after are not black friendly per se. They're pretty much, you know, lower middle class, industrial, blue collar, white families, mills, factories, that central sort of, you know, rural belt. Those guys, she's going after those people. Does it hurt her there?
Well, I think Bill Clinton can help there because there's these polls that are showing that if Hillary is the candidate, people will then move towards McCain and making the Republican more electable. And if Obama's the candidate, then he might have the support to beat McCain on his own merits. So if you get Bill Clinton in there and he gets in there and starts, I mean, because Clinton, I mean, he was a fairly conservative Democrat. So he can get in there and start doing, you know, pressing the flesh with some of these conservative blue-collar Democrats. Now, that could really help. You know, I think they, you know, courting the black vote against a black candidate, that's a little difficult when you're white.
Not a good idea.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you know,
it could backfire, in other words.
Yeah, it's like me walking into Compton and using the N-word, thinking it's a friendly a term, you know?
What's up, but this is me, Jared. What's up, my nigga?
Yeah, that'd be a problem.
So, yeah, you know, I mean, it's I can't use it as an affectionate term. You know, Bill Clinton and Hillary, they got caught being just way, way too, I don't know what the word is, just white, I guess. And you know, when you're standing next to a black person, that whiteness kind of sticks out a little bit. And then, so if you get Bill now in these Ohio Valley areas, in the Steel Belt, in Pennsylvania, being the old middle of the road Democrat, the Democrats that, you see, that's the thing about these Steel Belt people. I think, and I'm going to piss some people off here, I'm sure, but they are the dumbest voters on the planet because no, because they have no jobs. Their factory just got blowed up and got sent away to China.
Right.
And they're worried about gays marrying.
Yeah, like, well, you know, Hillary isn't she? I think she's anti-gay for that reason, or she hasn't publicly voiced her, she didn't go on the gay show, Ellen DeGeneres.
Well, this is where Bill can come in handy, because you won't know what he believes, but you'll feel good about whatever he's saying.
And you'll feel good about Hillary, yeah.
And you'll feel good about Hillary.
I mean, it's a great, she's got a great setup with her husband. I mean, basically, the only problem with Hillary, for Hillary right now, is that there is a Barack Obama. Otherwise, she'd be killing. She'd have been the nominee.
Yeah.
Right? So so this is pretty serious, but, you know, she's, you know, 11, you heard the story, 11 primaries in a row, Barack, huge lead, jumped ahead, $50 million in February. 90% of the donations coming from the internet. This guy is like different. So he's doing new things. It's almost like if he wasn't able to raise the kind of awareness and support and money and everything, could he really have been a contender for Hillary Clinton?
Oh, I mean, no. I mean, it's weird. A lot of people have to really rely just on the money and the numbers, but Obama got this movement going. I mean, he got what every politician wants. He got passion in the crowd, you know. There was a sweeping change, you know. And I don't know, his rhetoric got people stirred. And it hasn't been about issues at all. Like, if you ask a Democratic voter, it's not about issues. It's about personality. Either they don't like Hillary, or they're a little concerned about experience. There's no issues involved here. I don't know. Obama just got the right way. I mean, is it not right? It's just the right time for some dude to start preaching change. And it worked. But the thing is Hillary is getting some victories because she's pulling out some old Republican tricks and talking about national defense. And that's what she's done recently in Ohio and in Texas. And, you know, that's how Bush managed to somehow get reelected in 2004. I mean, the irony of the Bush reelection is he won because of his own mistake. You know, he was like, Iraq is a quagmire. You know, you want me to stay around to tend to that? And we're like, sure, that sounds like a great idea. And Hillary Clinton, taking note that an ASCON like Bush can get reelected on national defense, someone with more qualities like herself can too. So she's pulling out that Republican card. And Obama's got to get some substance soon, because people are going to start asking. You know, it's just like it's like the party's kind of ending a little bit. That momentum's ending, and people are emerging from the hangover, the Obama drunkenness, and they're going to be like, okay, wait a second, what kind of change are you talking about? Hope? Or what do you? Because you listen to an Obama speech, it's not like a President Bush speech. They're both idealists. They're just, one can speak a lot better for one, but they just use different terms. President Bush talked about democracy, hope, and God. And Obama talks about change and hope and momentum.
In terms of, I mean, he seems to be a pretty liberal Democrat. He's got a huge liberal voting record in Illinois as state senator there. Where does he put us in terms of, I mean, I'm sure we kind of have a feel for where he stands on the issues. And I'm wondering if people want to have him talk about the issues, or do they want him to actually say what he's going to do? And I don't know why you would do that before you're the nominee, because then people could steal your shit.
Yeah, if you can get away with getting nominated without actually talking about the issues and what he plans on doing, which he has. He hasn't got enough credit for that. But he hasn't had to do it as much as any other nominee in history who has had this much popularity. If he can get away with it, then he's set, because what always gets people is people get excited about them. They get excited about Howard Dean, and then they start talking about the issues. And once they talk about the issues, well, your opponent and the Republicans or whomever's against you can really pounce on you, and they have something to run on. I mean, there's Obama's advantage right there. You know, his lack of experience means he doesn't have some crappy record. He doesn't have some flip-flop record that people can jump on.
Does he have a chance against Hillary Clinton in Mississippi, Pennsylvania?
Well, Mississippi, I think that's his. Pennsylvania, I mean, you know, I don't know. That's a tough call. I don't, you know, Philadelphia's going to make a difference, you know, some of the big urban areas for Obama, but I don't know. I think Hillary might have Pennsylvania.
They're saying Philadelphia, Harrisburg, and some other burg town. Apparently all for Obama right now.
But he did not get as much of the black vote as he thought he would in Texas. So, you know, what does that mean? You know, are these people in Pennsylvania and Mississippi, are they educated, or you know, are they thinking about the issues, or are they just going to be voting, you know, because...
Probably a popularity contest at that point, but, I mean, he's winning on that for sure. How do you explain, and this is something that maybe neither of us would have come up with or been able to predict, how is he getting so much of the white vote, and also looking at sort of the different stratas within... Yeah, economic stratas within his quote-unquote audience or the people who are going for him. There, you know, you have some pretty educated people, more educated people than not.
Well, you know, there's a couple things here. I mean, first, you get Hillary Clinton gets elected. You have this dynasty of Bush Clinton, and you know, what does that say about America? Like, you know, where's the competition? Where's the people like the Jimmy Carters who are pulling themselves out of their bootstraps when you have two families dominating, the Oval Office? And another thing is, I think some of this Obama support is, I think it's inaccurate, because when you ask somebody in the street, who are you going to vote for? And, well, they have no problem saying, oh, I'm ready for change, Barack Obama. But after the Republicans attack whoever the Democratic nominee is, with all these ads they're going to do with national security, because you know whoever gets nominated, they're going to pull out the stops. George W. Bush will probably throw up a few orange alerts for John McCain, and John McCain will be preaching all the experience and how terrorists will kill us if, you know, we don't vote for him. And what will happen is all those people who are out in the street to be popular and ride the Barack wagon who said they'd vote for him, once they're in that booth, you know, nobody has to know who they voted for. And they're going to be in that booth thinking about those ads they saw, you know, like it with Kerry, it was the wolves gathering. They had the Republicans ran that ad with the wolves gathering, you know, scaring people about terrorism. And they're going to have all these ads of John McCain as a war hero. And then, you know, Barack Obama as some snot-nosed kid with no experience. And Hillary Clinton, some menstruating bitch who could be too moody and, you know, destroy the world on a bad day. And people are going to be in that booth and nobody's going to know what their decision is. And they're going to tick off that Republican. They're going to say, yeah, I'll go ahead and do the Republican.
Why is, what's his name? Why did he pull out of the race? Huckabee.
He's gone. Isn't he gone? He's gone.
Ron Paul is still there.
He said, my campaign will never die. So, I mean, Ron Paul, you know, he's going to be like the right-wing Ralph Nader here. He's going to run because he wants attention for his issues. And I'm not saying that's a bad thing. You know, I could admire anybody who has the energy to run, even though they're not going to win. You know, that's just crazy to me.
Why is Ralph Nader back in the race? Did the Republicans put him in there to take away votes from one of the front-running Dems?
No, I mean, you know, part of it's probably some ego. There's a lot of Ralph Nader haters out there, and that really ticks me off. I mean, this guy has done a lot with Public Citizen. He brought a lot of attention when it was very unpopular to do so, to things that needed to be, you know, with the crappy cars we were making and other products that were killing people. You know, so I admire that. I think he's there because he's disappointed in the Democratic process. He's disappointed in a two-party system that has pretty much very similar people. I mean, the Democrats and Republicans will do anything to get a vote, and often that means selling out the values and their platform. And I think he's just trying to make a statement. And you know, and he runs this huge nonprofit. I mean, he's the figurehead, and you know, the more attention he gets, you know, the better it is for his organization.
It could be an advertising campaign. You know what they say: put a bitch, back a bitch in a corner, and watch her tear your ass up. Is Hillary, was she pushed in a corner after 11 wins by Barack Obama? Did the kitchen sink really fly? Was the campaign, is it getting nasty? Is it getting Republican up in here?
I know these guys are still so rookie compared to the Republicans. I mean, they got nothing. You know, I mean, Hillary is upset about this pamphlet going around the state of Michigan or Ohio that, you know, saying she was for, you know, socialized medicine and this and that. And, I mean, that's just nothing. The Republicans, I mean, heck, I mentioned it earlier, down in South Carolina in 2000 in the Republican primary, Ralph Reed and all those other right-wing Christian nutjobs were calling voters and asking them, if there were a candidate who had a black child out of wedlock, would you vote for him? And people were, and then they insinuated John McCain. Well, yeah, he is an adopted Cambodian child. And I mean, that's how nasty they get. I mean, it's over the top. It's fun to watch. I mean, it's like Jerry Springer, but with suits. Talking about it getting nasty. Heck, that Obama operative resigned. Why? Why did she resign? Because she called Hillary a monster. I mean, that's not something you resign over in politics. That's why the Democrats get their ass handed to them all the time. They're too sensitive, man. They're afraid to get, they're like, oh, you know, we're above the fray. We're not going to get in the mud. But what happens? They throw the mud at them.
What about the woman, the other woman who was talking about Obama's going to do this? Is Obama trying to stay clean and kind of take the higher road and sort of use Hillary to screw herself or whatever? I mean, is there a plan here?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, that's a big thing, too. I mean, if he can stay away from big issues, that's the best thing for him, because the voter who is most turned off at negative campaigning are precisely the people who are going for him more than ever before, and that's the female voter, the young female voter. So he has to try to stay above that fray, which really surprised me today, because they asked him if he was going to, if he would run on a super ticket as the Veep, the Hillary. He said, no, there's no way that's in the card. And so there was a bit of a personality flip-flop here, because Hillary Clinton was asked the same thing. Actually, Bill Clinton was. And he offered a concession saying, oh, yeah, there'd be something we could look into. So you could see that there, I don't know why Obama would be, here's Obama, Mr. Smooth Talk here, and he was really cold when he was asked that. But the Clintons, I think, are kind of trying to turn a corner there and show that they can be a little more negotiable, and they don't think they're the inevitable candidate.
So is it possibly, I guess at this point, they don't think that they are the inevitable choice? Is it because, I mean, obviously he's a threat significant enough for them to constantly rethink their strategy? I mean, he's keeping them on their toes, because, I mean, they've come out with a lot of things.
I know. Well, the whole inevitable thing is over. I think what they're going to do now, what they're saying now is, the whole, I'm sure you heard about the phone ringing ad. I don't know, maybe you saw it in wherever state you live, but the phone was ringing, and it was the Hillary campaign, and it was this red hotline, and they were like, if this were ringing at 3 a.m. and there was a crisis, who do you want answering the phone? Someone with no experience or Hillary Clinton. Of course, Obama came back with their own ad with the phone ringing. But Hillary is no longer inevitable. They can throw that out the window. They went for the sensitive thing with the teary eyes. And now I think they're just going to attack experience, which is why she's bringing up national defense, because she can say she knows 60 world leaders and Obama only knows, the head of the Illinois Junior League.
Yeah, but like, what? That's fine. I want to hear her ass say that. But here's the thing. Now, everybody wants to know, fine, Obama, what's your experience? But also, Hillary, what's your experience? And, I know about Obama's experience. Obviously, he's been like a local/state guy. He's fairly new. It's different. He doesn't have that much experience. But two things. First, leaders are current leaders. All these guys claiming all his fucking experience. And our world is in the shape that it is. Two, do we want somebody with experience, or do we want somebody without experience? Does it matter at this point? Like, how important is experience in this election?
Well, it's funny. Every time there's an outsider, they always play that up. I haven't been in the Beltway. I haven't been in the swamp. I'm not polluted by lobbyists. And everybody falls in love with that right away, early on in campaign. The guy who ran against Lieberman and beat him in the Democratic primary before Lieberman went independent and finally won that. And Howard Dean again, and all these people who were, but it doesn't last because it generates excitement. But when it comes down to it, the people who have the experience, it's not about who the experience isn't about. They're going to advertise. It's about who's going to be the better president. But where it really matters is who's the better politician, because that's the person who's going to win. And when it comes down to it, the person with the experience, you know, those last few weeks, they know how to win and they know how to destroy the inexperienced, which is, I think that's one concern with Obama. I don't care that he doesn't know President Musharraf all that well in Pakistan. As a matter of fact, it probably would behoove more leaders to distance themselves from him. But because once he's in, a lot of world leaders are gonna be happy to see a soul brother in office instead of Dick Cheney. You know it, though. All these old white guys have been pissing people off. So that's how experience has been detrimental. I mean, the experience of the United States and the world is it's old white guys with, you know, bad ones and, you know, loaded up on Viagra, making bad decisions based on whatever businesses propped up their campaign. So that's where experience is detrimental. But where it counts, though, is let's go back to Hillary Clinton when she was but a doe-eyed babe in 1992. She pranced in front of the nation with her health care, the Hillary care, they called it. It had some good ideas. I mean, it wasn't 100% single payer. I mean, she wanted coverage, universal coverage. Well, she had no idea what hit her. Dude, she got unceremoniously deflowered by Republicans and conservative Democrats and their health care beneficiaries, those, the pharmaceutical industry, all those people. I mean, they paid to have her essentially wiped off the map. And then she disappeared after that. I mean, she was rendered to like mildly retarded Laura Bush first lady role, where she just goes around and reads children's books.
She's just drunk. Well, Laura Bush is just out there sipping out of a flask, coming out of her panties.
I mean, that's, you know, and that's what happened to her. And that's what I'm worried about. That's where experience counts, because Obama's going to get in there. That brother's got to know. He's got to have a staff that knows how to react to the attacks. And you've seen how, I mean, Republicans, when they attack well. I mean, John Kerry's still trying to figure out how he got Swift voted. And that's actually a verb now.
Right, you know, it is.
You know, and that was a bunch, it was, you know, it was all twisting of the truth. Those guys who signed up for the Veterans for Truth, I mean, a lot of those guys have apologized and said it was a bad idea. But the Democrats didn't know how to react. And so that's where Obama needs experience. He needs a staff that knows how to react to those attacks. Because if he doesn't, any policy he wants to change, you know, they're going to murder his character, and he won't have the support he needs. And nobody's going to want to stand next to him.
So what about the whole picture of having a black woman in the White House? Isn't there something wrong with that in America?
Well, it's not cleaning.
Right, exactly. I mean, she ain't over the stove or mopping some floor. What is she doing there?
Where's my Hattie McDaniel? Yeah.
We need one of those.
You know, I don't know. I think it's going to be a great, great thing. I mean, I've just been a more stereotyped person in this country than a black woman, and it still seems to be more acceptable than the black man. You know, you hear a lot of people get angry about the stereotype of the violent black man, you know, the Mike Tysons and stuff, these big penis rapists and stuff. But, I mean, it's still apparently okay to stereotype black women. You see it all the time in every, you know, Norbit to any popular movie out there. You know, it's pretty much the same caricature of a woman. And it's this large, clapping, squawking, singing, oh, no, you didn't sing. And so I think it'll be great for the country. I mean, she seems like a pretty dynamic woman, and her husband is the same thing. So I think they're dynamic people that'll be good. How's your life so far?